بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. For a moment, I want you to go think back and think way, way back to your childhood. And from that time, think of all the books that you have read. So since you were a kid, if you remember the first book that you ever read, or the first thing that your teacher taught you in school, so think of all those books that you have read, all the courses you have taken, if you can remember them all, and all the newspapers and articles you have read, all the bits and pieces of news, of events, of memories that you have stored inside your head. Of all that information, of all that data inside your head, how much of it is useful? How much of it is sitting there unused, perhaps useless, perhaps waiting for a moment, the opportunity to be used? So for example, I know that my neighbor's car is a blue car. Now that hasn't helped me in any way, and that is a piece of information that sits in my head. Perhaps, maybe one day, I'll need that piece of information, but for the time being, it's sitting there and I probably won't ever need it. On the other hand, there's other information, other knowledge that I may have acquired, I may have experienced over the course of my life that has come in very handy, that has been very beneficial. So for example, I happen to study journalism, so the stuff that I've learned in journalism school, I find that has helped me greatly, alhamdulillah, when it comes to communication so far, and so forth. So we know that knowledge can either be useful and beneficial, or it could be useless as well. Now, if we analyze our lives, and if we analyze the amount of time that we spend interacting with information, with knowledge, taking it in, we'll realize that the most productive and efficient use of time is in acquiring that knowledge which is the most beneficial to us, right? Because we are all here with a limited amount of time in this world with our lives, and the more time that we spent on acquiring knowledge and the information that can help us and that is beneficial to us, obviously that is a good use of time. If we spend time acquiring information and knowledge that doesn't really help us that much, or which isn't really beneficial, then that's not the most efficient use of time. Thus the Prophet ﷺ would make this su'a. He would pray, Allahumma anfa'ni bima 'allamtani, that O Allah, make whatever you have taught me, whatever I have learnt, make it useful, make it beneficial. Wa'allimni ma yanfa'ni, and teach me that which is useful and beneficial for me. So the Prophet ﷺ would make this du'a. He wouldn't want to learn and know about things that are not going to be beneficial for him. So he would make this du'a. He would pray to Allah that Allah grants him only that knowledge which is beneficial. وَرْزُقْنِي عِلْمًا يَنْفَعْنِي, and grant me, give me the knowledge that will benefit me. وَزِدْنِي عِلْمًا, and increase me in knowledge. So now, we know knowledge is important, and we should hope for and we should look for the knowledge that is most beneficial to us, because that is what the Prophet ﷺ made dua for. That's what he prayed for. So now, we've got to figure out what sort of knowledge is the most beneficial for us. So which type of knowledge is most useful? Which one can help us the most? And which is the one, therefore, that we should be seeking? Now, we all know the famous saying. What is it? Knowledge is power, right? We've come across that. It's used in advertising campaigns. It's used all over the place. And in case you're curious, it's actually a quote from an Englishman who was a philosopher and a statesman back in the 16th century. Sir Francis Bacon was the one who wrote this in one of his books. So he said, knowledge is power. So if we take that for a moment, so if knowledge gives a person power or access to power, then indeed the most beneficial knowledge is the one that gives the most power to its holder. Right, so if knowledge is power, the most beneficial knowledge is the one that gives the holder of the knowledge the most amount of power. And therefore, as a result of that power, has the most profound effect that can be seen by people. So now, let's take a look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Jibreel alayhi salam, when the Prophet Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave and began the process of revelation and said to him, "Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," read in the name of your Lord who has created you. That was power. Why was it power? Because it was that knowledge, right? It was that knowledge which started from there that took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from being the person who said, "Ma ana biqari'in," I don't know how to read, right? When the revelation started, that it's that knowledge that took him from that point to today, where he's being remembered by millions of people around the world, and through words and through prayers as well. So that is the power. So if knowledge is power, that is the powerful knowledge that takes a person from that level in the city of Mecca to the prominence that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has today in our hearts, in our prayers, all around the world. And that also in such a short period of time, right? In 23 years, which is the process, the time of revelation from beginning to end of the Quran. So within 23 years, in such a short amount of time, we see such a radical transformation in the society of Arabia, in what it was before Islam and the process of revelation, and what it became afterwards, and we see the Muslim community today. So thus, that is the knowledge. That is the knowledge that gives its holder the most power, and we've seen that. It's proven, and it's true. Now the question then is, what makes this knowledge so powerful? Like, why is this knowledge, this type of knowledge, why is it so powerful? So there are a number of reasons for that. The first one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me rephrase that. The first, when we are in trouble, we are in trouble, so or we have something major coming up. So let's say you have, you know, the high school students have had exams, or they're going to have exams, or when we're going for a job interview and so on, what do we tell one another? People normally say, "Wish me luck," right? Wish me luck or wish me well, because we're worried and we want some sort of, you know, some sort of good omen or something to help us in what we're about to do. Now, how if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who was wishing us well? How about if it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was wishing us well? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when Allah wishes good for someone, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just any other person, but when Allah wishes good upon a person, He bestows upon him the understanding of deen. He bestows upon him the understanding of religion. Now Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, monumental scholar from Egypt, 14th century approximately, Shafi'i scholar, and when it comes to the science of hadith, basically the master, one of the masters, he says that the meaning of this is that a person who doesn't try to understand the deen, a person who doesn't try to acquire the knowledge of rulings of Islam and the related branches of knowledge related to that, he's actually making goodness forbidden upon himself. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes well for someone and he grants them understanding of the deen, of the religion, then the reverse is that if a person who doesn't actually try to get that, he's actually making goodness hard to come upon himself. So one of the best ways of gaining from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor, or to be on Allah's good side, is to attempt to understand the deen. Not only to understand it, of course, but to act upon it as well. So if we show desire for this, and if we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with that, inshallah. So that's the first thing. So to get a source of goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now secondly, the other thing that makes this knowledge powerful is that, as we know, our life is like a journal, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that live in this world as if you are a traveler. There's a lot of wisdom in that, and we can discuss it at some other time. So the Prophet ﷺ said, live in this world as if you are a traveler. So we are on this journey, and our intended destination, hopefully, inshallah, is Jannah. It's paradise. Now, because Jannah is such a unique resort, it's so difficult to get there, it's so far away, that this journey can be difficult sometimes. But the person who is seeking the knowledge of deen, the person who is seeking the knowledge of religion, For that person, this path is made easy. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah makes easy the way to Jannah for him who treads in the path, who treads the path in search of knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that path easy for us if we actually try to acquire the knowledge of deen. Thirdly, we all know that we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Right? So we all make sins and we all try to ask for forgiveness when we get a chance. So after we pray, for example, or if we do something bad, we say astaghfirullah and we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But imagine not only ourselves seeking forgiveness, but rather the angels and all the other creations, even animals, seeking forgiveness for us. Now this might seem a little odd, so let me explain. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the angels lower their wings over the seeker of knowledge, being pleased with what he does. The inhabitants of the heavens and the earth, and even the fish in the depths of the ocean seek forgiveness for him. So the angels, out of respect and veneration of the person who's actually seeking the knowledge of the deen, lower their wings, meaning offer their protection, being pleased by what they're doing, by what he's doing, and the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth, so all of the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the fish, are seeking forgiveness for him. So now we think, okay, so do the animals and do the fish actually worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How is this possible? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالطَّيْرُ صَافَّاتِ. Are you not aware that it is God, it is Allah whose limitless glory, all creatures that are in the heavens and on the earth extol, even the birds as they spring out their wings. So even as the birds that we see flying are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَفْعَلُونَ. Each of them knows indeed how to pray unto him. So each of these animals, they know how to pray unto him and glorify him, and Allah has full knowledge of all that they do. تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. The seven heavens extol his limitless glory, and the earth and all that they contain, and there is not a single thing but that it extols his limitless glory and praise. But there he comes to the point where he says, but you, O human beings, fail to grasp the manner of their glorifying him. So the animals, the fish, all the other creatures are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except we don't understand, we're not able to grasp exactly how they're doing that. Fourthly, an exalted status according to Allah. So the hadith continues, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the superiority of a learned person over the devout worshipper is like that of the full moon to the rest of the stars in terms of its brightness. And why is that? This superiority is because the person who has acquired knowledge actually has the tools, the necessary knowledge now to affect others. So the brightness is one that can benefit others as well, whereas the stars are limited in their lightness. So they are bright, right? So a worshipper is like a star, he or she is bright, but the brightness is not so much that it can positively benefit others. So that's one of the other benefits. And finally, the knowledge of religion, the knowledge of deen, has been described as the inheritance of the prophets. The hadith continues, and the Prophet ﷺ says, the learned are the heirs of the prophets, who leave neither dinar nor dirham, meaning actual cash or wealth, but only that of knowledge. And he who acquires it has in fact acquired an abundant portion. So in the large scheme of things, knowledge is in fact much more valuable and satisfying form of wealth as opposed to silver, gold, and other forms of cash. So these are some of the virtues of acquiring the knowledge of the deen. Now, you know, we might think, well, you know, who can actually learn the knowledge of the deen? Is there a monopoly? So for example, does it have to be, you know, men from a particular, you know, part of the world and so on? Or, you know, do the authorities, the religious authorities, so to speak, do they want, you know, the masses to stay, you know, dumb and ignorant so they can control them and they can, you know, tell them what they should do and so on and so forth? So the fact of the matter is that in Islam, in our religion, no one has a monopoly on knowledge. And anyone can decide, and literally anyone can decide to spend as much time as they want pursuing the knowledge of the deen, whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, whether young or old, or you know, a Muslim who was born as a Muslim, or a convert, and so on. And I've heard and seen of people who are new to Islam, who converted to Islam, and who then, you know, sacrificed their lives, who spent enormous amounts of time traveling around the world, going to different places, and becoming great scholars of Islam. You know, they went and they learned Arabic, they learned different languages, they studied the Quran, they studied the Hadith, and fiqh, and all these other branches of Islamic knowledge, and they became, mashallah, very knowledgeable people. And previously, and maybe not so much today, but this is changing now, women actually, you know, held a great place in Islamic scholarship as well. And in fact, I mentioned Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, and how he was such a great scholar and so forth. And in fact, he got married to a woman who was another scholar and an expert in her own right in Hadith. And she would hold, you know, lectures and halaqat, large ones, you know, where people would attend, all types of people, scholars would attend and benefit from her knowledge. So, you know, just because, you know, we think that, you know, men are the majority of the scholars today, that doesn't have to be the case. And in the past, women have done great things for Islamic knowledge. So it's all there for us. And the Prophet ﷺ had said that the seeking of ilm, the seeking of knowledge, فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, right? That it's an obligation, it's obligatory for every Muslim. Now that doesn't mean that everyone has to strive to become like Hafiz ibn Hajar, or everyone has to strive to become like a scholar. Rather, the meaning is that learning the rules and regulations of the obligatory and the prohibited is what is required for every person. So as an adult Muslim, what is required of me? Right? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want for me? And how do I do it? And what can't I do? So the essential forms of worship, so for example, wudu, ritual purity, how to do ghusl, you know, offering salah, giving zakat, all of these things that are obligatory upon us, it's also obligatory upon us to find out what rules apply to us when it comes to these things. Secondly, what rules apply to our situation? So for example, if I'm running a business, I need to know, it's obligatory upon me to know the rules, the halal and haram, the obligations upon me in running a business. If I'm in the finance industry, I need to know about that. You know, if I'm in medicine and I'm dealing with patients, I need to know what rules and regulations might affect me. If I'm married, I need to know my responsibilities towards my spouse. You know, if I'm interacting with people, I need to know what responsibilities I have towards the people I'm interacting with and how I should be interacting with them. You know, how to dress, what are my responsibilities in other aspects of life, in my personal finances. For example, you know, some of the things we don't really think about, but if I have a credit card, the credit card has a cashback feature, or if I'm collecting points, is that something that is allowed or not? Rules, you know, so and bank accounts and so on and so forth. I need to buy food, obviously. And we eat out. And not all the food is halal. So what are the rules of halal and haram and so on and so forth? So these things are the bare minimum that we are required to know. Why? Because they affect us and they affect our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, as we have seen, you know, learning beyond the obligatory, so these are the things that are obligatory, but learning beyond that obviously is something that is very commendable and which is highly recommended. So the question then is, what's the best way to learn? Right? What is the best way to learn? So is it to read books? Is it to read articles on the internet? Is it to listen to lectures, to watch videos? Like, what exactly is the best way? So for an indication on that, to the answer to that question, we look at the first revelation to the Prophet ﷺ. So how was the Prophet ﷺ taught when it came to this powerful knowledge? So the first word, obviously, was iqra, right? Was to read. So that gives us an indication. But there's a caveat to that. There's another indication. And that is that word itself didn't come on its own, but rather it was taught to the Prophet ﷺ by the angel. By angel Jibreel alayhi salam. So, and continuously then, it was sent through the angel, which taught it to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ then taught it to the people. Now if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, right, He could have sent the entire book at once. He could have sent just the book without the angel to the Prophet. But that's not what happened. So the indication is that reading is essential, but also with that reading, having a teacher is also equally important. Because it's said that the spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the deen and the spiritual knowledge, actually goes heart to heart. Because it's supposed to have an effect. It's not just a dry, it's not just a dry academic subject that we just study, we give an exam on, and then we forget about. I took other courses apart from journalism. Most of them, I probably don't even remember anything. I studied just hard enough to pass the exam, and that was it. Right? But when it comes to the knowledge of the deen, it's actually supposed to have an effect on our heart and our minds, and it's supposed to translate into our actions. And the knowledge with no effect is useless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنَ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that it is only those who have knowledge among his slaves that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only those who have knowledge that fear Allah. So true knowledge, right? True knowledge is supposed to lead to the consciousness and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that obviously has to translate into action, because if a person does not act upon the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that means that he is being neglectful, he or she is being neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the past, you know, people would have to go through so much trouble, like literally so much trouble, just to acquire even a little bit of knowledge. And there's famous stories of scholars who would travel like far distances. You know, and this was hard travel. This wasn't like, you know, just catching a bus or sitting in your car and just driving down the street or driving to Toronto or to Montreal. It wasn't like that. This travel was fraught with dangers. You know, you're traveling by horse, you're traveling by camel, you're looking for people, you know, there's no road signs. All this stuff, you know, was much, much, much more difficult. And they would spend their money, you know, spend entire years of their life just to travel to different corners of the world to get knowledge of the deen. But today we see it's so easy for us, right? So we have courses in schools. You know, there's schools, there's institutes, there's classes in masajid. Inshallah, we're having a program tonight on the lessons from the Hijrah. You know, classes are available on the internet. So knowledge has become so easily accessible. But what happens when something becomes very easily accessible? If it becomes, you know, if you take it for granted, then we lose the value for it. Right? So for example, I have two hands, alhamdulillah. One time I was playing basketball and I fell, and this hand became frozen, right, for a few days. So I wasn't able to move it except like this. I couldn't move my fingers. Right? And that's when I realized the value of this hand. That's only at that time I realized how valuable this hand was, because all of a sudden it became difficult to do all the things I was able to do and that I was used to doing. So in the same way, access to knowledge has become easier for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it much easier. But because of that, you know, we also sort of lose value for it as well. So let's take the jump. You know, we need to get wet first before we start swimming. So we get in there, you know, we start exploring, start asking questions, taking some courses, come tonight, inshallah. It'll be beneficial. And at the end, we should always make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make was, قُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Right? So make dua to Allah. He said, pray that, oh my Lord, increase me in my knowledge. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are constantly striving to acquire knowledge of deen through the rest of our lives, and more importantly, who can take that knowledge and implement it into our lives and pass it on to others.